Hello and welcome back to the Ox Unplugged, where we're not sure what that thing is from outer space, but we bet it's going to look good mounted on the wall. I'm Crispy Kraut.
I am Mr. Jaywit.
And I am Tyre German. You may call me TG.
Yes, much like TG Station, my old haunt when I used to play Space Station through our team a lot.
Only in my case, I always shoot the clown first.
I mean, that's the responsible thing to do if you're playing.
The responsible thing is to be the clown and to shove the mime into the waste disposal.
Into the grinder, yeah.
Right at round start, just shove them in and then leave. They can't complain.
Speaking of horrors in space that you need to kill immediately, we're going to be talking about weird aliens today.
Do you consider Alien from Aliens, the Xenomorphs, weird?
Well, I see. I feel like immediately we're getting into a loaded question because it's like, isn't the idea of something being alien life in itself of alien, like being weird?
Yeah, I'm gonna go in this case with the Z to avoid confusion in the next hour or however long this goes. I'm just gonna refer to the alien from Aliens as Xenomorphs to differentiate them or alien. But basically, in my opinion, the ability to latch on, incubate, assimilate, and then burst forth is already a very strange quirk for a species to have, be it bioengineered or natural.
I also don't think it helps that it was the idea for the Xenomorph was made by H.R. Giger, which if you've seen his work, you know what I'm talking about in terms of his work.
I've seen it in live in Switzerland. It is much more frightening in the original scale.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, two words, penis landscape. That's one of his famous pieces. Google that. Don't Google that. Or maybe do. I don't know. It depends on your taste in art. But
he's a good guy.
No, I love his art. Like, it's crazy and weird and everything, but it's such an awesome, like, otherworldly thing, which is perfect if you're designing an alien or just an alien world. Because he also did, like, concept art for Jodorowsky's Dune, but that's a whole other topic.
I think it is important that the part where it's a parasite makes it an interesting monster.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just, like, a big scary monster with, like, a second mouth, which is good and creepy, but, like, all right, sure. The fact that it has to kill a human to be born, that's interesting now.
The incubation is certainly the thing that makes it very unique, and the fact that it assimilates characteristics of its host.
Yeah.
Basically, if you shove a facehugger on a dog, it will be a canine xenomorph that springs out.
Yeah.
If you somehow manage to shove it into an elephant, it'll be an elephantine.
Was there an elephant xenomorph? Because that's awesome if there was.
I don't know it, but
I really want there to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But, you know, also going off it's kind of different because it's not necessarily reproduction. It kind of is, depending on the part of the setting. But the head crabs from Half-Life are another good example of, like, weird alien parasite.
I never figured those things out. Are they just sort of broad, like, I'm going to murder this guy? Because I don't know what their end game is. I never figured that out.
I have an idea for that one. Basically, it is meant as taking over host body, moving it into a secure place, deposit eggs in corpse, wait for eggs to hatch and eat corpse.
Okay.
I mean, that's not a bad way to look at it. Although, I mean, there's the Gonarch, which is like their, I guess you could say, the brood mother, which is basically a giant head crab with a testicle-looking egg sac hanging off of it. But nice. There was, the Half-Life originally, its expansion packs were made by Gearbox, Opposing Force and Blue Shift. And in Opposing
Force... Oh, is that Force, why no one cares about those?
I like them, but...
Okay.
We're not having a Half-Life podcast yet. but there was, in the Opposing Force one, which is where you play as, like, one of the Marines that's sent in to clean up the facility and kill everyone, there is an evolved form of the head crab where it has started to mutate the host body into something that's more advanced, like make it more muscular, make it more agile and everything, and the head crab itself starts to atrophy. So that's another interesting way where it's kind of like twisting the host into a new life form, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of hosts and life forms, my next candidate would have been the Goa'uld from Stargate.
Now, I'm not super familiar with Stargate and the aliens. I do like the replicator ones, but I know that's not who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the Egyptian gods in Stargate, you know, from Anubis to Osiris to the movie of Ra, instead of them being what the movie depicted them as, you know, energy beings, the actual quote-unquote gods of Stargate SG-1 are, in essence, symbiote worms that shove themselves into your body and connect to them.
Huh.
For them. And for them to have that life cycle and still be a sentient species, I would deposit as a very unlikely thing.
So it sounds like, from what we're saying here, that the idea of an alien being weird as opposed to like a non-weird alien is that you get aliens that are more like, they're human-like, but they're not really that too crazy different. Like a lot of the aliens in the Mass Effect series, it's like, yeah, they're aliens, but they're not weird aliens. It's just like, okay,
their
these are like
personality difference rather than like biological difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a few more, I've got some more candidates for biology difference. Then I've, as I've said before to Jamie before this recording started, I've got some otherworldly ones that I consider to be aliens. Don't know if it makes the cutout or not.
No, that's fine. I'm just kind of like, not necessarily setting the ground rules. I'm just trying to get the idea of like, what's the difference between an alien and a weird alien? Because like, you know, you have like the classic gray alien. You have like all sorts of different like Hollywood style aliens, but then you get the really weird stuff like the xenomorph, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's really like, I guess you could say exotic, but not just exotic in terms of like what it looks like, but also in terms of biology and how it functions. Like that really makes a weird alien. At least that's my thought on it. I don't know if that's what you guys are thinking.
What's your candidate for a weird alien from Mass Effect?
From Mass Effect? See, most of the Mass Effect aliens are just kind of like, I mean, there's some interesting bits to them, but there's nothing too crazy. I guess for me, I kind of like the Geth. That's the alien species I really like in Mass Effect, because it's a machine race, but it's one that's kind of evolved, and it's a networked intelligence. It's not necessarily like a Skynet thing. Like, each program is a Geth in and of itself, but together they have a collective intelligence that grows when there's more programs with them. So you have someone like Legion, who's the one player character you can get, that is essentially like, I think it's like 10,000 some programs all crammed into one body, which significantly increases its intelligence. But I mean, and there's the Reapers.
Yeah, because they are a hive mind, and hive minds are fucking cool.
Yeah, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a hive mind, but it's done in a unique way.
Yeah.
You know?
Rather than like the Zerg hive mind from StarCraft.
Yeah.
Which actually, no, they're not particularly hive-ish. They're also a bit of a weird one.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Zerg are kind of boring, but that's just me.
Have you played through StarCraft?
I've played StarCraft 2. I'm familiar with the lore and everything for it.
No. One is very different from 2. You actually have conversations internal between the Zerg and themselves.
Okay.
It's not just like might makes right from StarCraft 2.
Well, I know there's like they had like the brood lords and stuff that got killed off.
The
by Kerrigan. Yeah. Oh, the Overmind too, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Mass Effect necessarily has like any super weird aliens. I guess the Reapers kind of could be in terms of how they function, but
big jellyfish guys are weird.
Oh, the Hanar, yeah, those guys are fun.
Yeah, those were on my list. The Hanar and the Alcor.
Oh, the Alcor, that's right. I forgot about those guys. Those guys are fun.
I do love those guys. They're, for everyone uninitiated, there are weird jellyfish things that don't do particularly a lot. The Alcor are these big, bulky things from a high-gravity world. They're incredibly slow and patient.
And they talk very slowly.
Yes.
That there's like a famous joke in there where it's like Hamlet read by Alcor. It's like a 5-hour show.
With fainted enthusiasm, there she comes down the hall.
Exactly. It's just like that for 5 hours, and it's just like, oh god. It's like
Vogue. They are fun little guys. I do like them.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I'm not being derogatory when I say Mass Effect doesn't have like super weird aliens. It's just like
that's not the point of the game.
Yeah. It's more like a Star Wars story than like say cosmic horror, which is where you get a lot of the weird aliens, I want to say.
I do have two cosmic horror ones here.
Oh, go ahead. List.
Okay. In this case, I have, or rather, let me check here. Halo 3, actually. All from different franchises.
Halo 3?
No, I've got three franchises to go by. So, the more well-known one, I deposit in the Lovecraft mythos, Yogg-Sothoth counts as an alien entity.
Yogg-Sothoth amigo? I see you went up an additional finger as I mentioned the Migo.
For podcast listeners, I'm gesticulating like an Italian here. Anyway, yeah, that was my first pick for the most alien intelligence you can think of. It is an entire dimension of thought and knowledge looking at us and just going, okay, what are these freaking ants are doing right now? Just looking in at us. Could be cringing, could be laughing, could be giving us the figure for all intents and purposes.
Which, that's cool that it's kind of like just thought beings, you know? Yeah.
If you wanted an actual, like, palpable alien you could pseudo-punch in the face... from the same mythos, you've got the Elder Ones. Basically, the big cylinders that are, you know, instead of being, you know, symmetrical along one line down the middle, they're symmetrical along an axis. So, like a big fat cigar with a star on the top and bottom.
You know what that kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of, I think it's called This Is Your Life, is the short story, but you probably know it better as the movie it was turned into, which is, I think it's, not. No, that's not Contact. What's the one, it's Arrival.
Arrival.
God, it's based off a short story, but the aliens in that are really weird. It's like those big, like, barrel-shaped aliens with, like, tons of, like, legs and limbs.
Mm-hmm. Arrival is different because it's, the creepiness... Well, it's a language-based, like, weirdness that they do, and I really appreciate that, where the language of the alien matters on a fundamental level. Because you don't see that a lot in other stuff.
Yeah, which I really like. But, sorry, continue, GG.
Right. The next one I have thought of were the Q from All Tomorrows.
Altaros, that's a good one to get into.
I have not watched or read it, so do you mind explaining it to me?
Okay, here's a synopsis. In the year 3535, humanity finally managed to colonize Mars. Then Mars and Earth had a big bash, and they decided, okay, you know what? Fuck it, we're going to make ourselves into new star people, go out there in space, in colony ships. It's all quite hard sci-fi. And in the vastness of space, humanity finds another alien race who call themselves the Q. However, these aliens were so advanced in genetic material, they made any sort of human colony that they found into fucking pets. Specialized pets.
Yeah,
any sorts of colony they found, they made like little pampered little humans. They made gigantic elephant humans. They made humans that are just, you know, sorts of pseudo birds.
Yeah,
dolphins, and it was all sorts of shit.
It was also done out as like a punishment because they basically saw themselves as like the only ones that could alter creation, and they saw what humans were doing in terms of terraforming the worlds they settled and saw that as like heresy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh god, what's the one where it's just like they turn the people into the blocks of like the block people?
The modular people.
Yeah.
What you're looking for. The modular people. Basically, the same function as your cells are specialized for your body, like muscle cells are muscles, skin cells are skin cells for your body. The modular people are basically like Lego humans. You got a human that's just an eye and that transmits signals. The next one is just a gripper. The next one is a thinker. The next one is digestion. Specialized people, and they like plug and play into different configurations.
Like, imagine if your organs were sentient, basically. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend All Tomorrows. So that's a fun read to get into. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some ones myself, because...
So, I realize I don't know how to pronounce his name. The Chinese author behind The Wandering Earth and Three Body Problem, Xin Liu. He has a short story called Mountain. And this one is some of the funkiest... It's one of the... Okay. I'm just going to entirely spoil it because it's effectively impossible to talk about them without spoiling it. They are a silicon-based race. They are computers that they grew up in in zero G, and they discover that the world has boundaries to them. Like the entire universe goes up against some rocks.
Oh.
So eventually they decide we need to discover what is at the end of the world. Let's keep going. Let us keep going. And so they start working together. There are like different groups that tunnel off. And as you may know, when you tunnel, you generate more Earth. You take compacted Earth and then you open it up, and then it takes up more space. So the world is slowly getting filled up with the dirt leftovers as someone is tunneling out. It takes months and months, eventually years, and very slow. And then they lose contact with some people, with one of the parties that leaves. And so there's a lot of back and forth of, oh, should we do this? Shouldn't we do this? And eventually another person decides, I'm going to do it. So they tunnel out. And what they discover is that they are on a planet.
Huh.
They were born from in the center of a planet, and then then they decide, I need to expand out. Like, let's keep going. Why would we stop here? And then they expand through all of their universe, and then they say find humans at one point. And so the story is the aliens talking with the human. Like, that's the framework of the story.
Huh.
And the human's just sitting there going, well, why are you doing this? It's, well, why did you climb this mountain? The same way that we're doing it. We need to know what's going on over there. We need to keep going further.
I like
and
that.
Then he goes like, I mean, the universe has to end some. Like, how can you keep expanding? The universe ends. They go, you think that the universe ends? You think that this universe has an impenetrable wall? You just need to keep digging.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of using that as a springboard. And yes, I'm going back to Half-Life when I talk about this. But in terms of weird aliens, I think the Combine are a really interesting take on that. Because it's like, it's a universal empire of multiple species that have been essentially modified to turn into like, you know, bionic weapons of war, different machines and servitors, things, but it's extra dimensional. Like, they're in across multiple dimensions, and there's, I don't think they ever say like who is actually at the top of the Combine. Cause you get like the advisors and grub things, but they're not necessarily, who's to say they're actually the ones in charge of it. And, you know, they're
maybe the local lord, not the overall lord.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Like, you only get like a glimpse of what is essentially their home world, at the end of Half-Life 2 when they open the portal at the top of the Citadel. And even that is just like, is that actually their home world? Is that actually, you know, where they're from originally?
Or is it just another thing?
Yeah. And the species that they modify, you know, humans included, it's just like, what were these species originally before all these modifications took place, you know? Because you have, like, aircraft, you know, you have walkers, just all these different things that were originally some kind of sentient species that were modified by the Combine to become a tool or weapon for them. You never really get a sense of, like, it's a vast empire, you know?
I've got another one in that case. Speaking of extra-dimensional sentiences, do you know of Ra from Lancer?
I know of Lancer. I know that it is weird.
Yes. The way Lancer works as a tabletop mech setting is an order to bridge the gap between stars. Humanity, at some point, looked into what they call paracausal technology. Basically, instead of going all the different steps from A, B, C to E, they outsourced a bit of the logic and processing of going from A to D into a separate dimension of eldritch math that Whoa. You plug in a computer into, and it goes like, okay, beep boop, A to D, very quick, and you don't have to
you don't have to do the math.
You can just do it. You don't have to put in that much RAM. You don't have to put in that much anything else. All the processing power and dimensional shit happens in that extra dimension that doesn't need to follow all the extra steps of causality that we have to do here.
That's wild.
The issue is something touched back on the other side of that dimension, and it called itself Ra, like the god. And when it touched, it destroyed the entire planet Mars, a whole colonized Mars, and it commandeers now the moon Phobos from it.
Oh, so we're turning into doom. Okay.
And when it finds out that humans try to transcend and become like more like machines, Ra comes in, smacks your ass so hard, and poops you out into space. They says, no, fuck off, Yumi. We signed an accord. We made laws on this. Ra actually contacted humanity, made some laws called the first contact accords with them, and then he went, you know, okay, I've got these laws here. You do not do this and this and this. I don't like that. And if I catch you, I'm going to come in there and whoop your ass.
Man, Lancer is such an acid trip of a setting. I love it. I need more of it. No wonder the guy that did Kill 6 Billion Demons did the art for that as well.
Mm-hmm. No, he made the entire thing. That's his
history. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains so much.
Yeah.
I've basically been listening in on a lot of the summaries, but I have to admit, it is very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the horse patterns of mechs, which uses paracausal tech, such as teleportation, a mech made out of just a swarms of little drones. And if you're lucky, you get blended inside your own mech.
Lancer has some pretty awesome art to it. I need to get those books. I would love to pick that dude's brain about stuff. He seems like an awesome dude.
He really does.
This does make me think about, like, machine alien races. Because, I mean, I really like the idea of, like, an alien race that's machines, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get, like, kind of more generic stuff. But I'm wondering, like, what the really weird stuff is, you know? I don't know if it necessarily counts as weird alien, but I kind of like the Skryn from Command & Conquer 3. Mm-hmm. Which...
Do you mind going into that? I don't know.
Okay, so in Command & Conquer, at least in the Tiberium setting, because there's multiple settings for it. But starts in 1995 when this meteor hits in near the Tiber River in Italy, which delivers this alien crystal that has these crazy properties to it in terms of being able to replicate. And one of the things it does also is it's able to extract essentially minerals from the soil and it uses it, and it's refined, and that's a way to get resources in the game. But it also has these mutagenic properties that become very apparent in later games, where it's able to mutate entire biospheres and things. And come Command & Conquer 3, you find out that this was seeded by a race called the Skryn, which is this insectoid alien race that is dependent on Tiberium to live. And they essentially seeded it in terms of growing it to terraform slash build up to a point where they can harvest it from the planet, which, spoilers, Kane, who is kind of the quintessential bad guy in it, and one of my favorite characters of all time, basically tricks GDI into exploding a bunch of it to the point where it sends out an energy signature in space that's powerful enough to draw the Skryn to Earth for his own machinations. But there are these insectoid beings. There's multiple different versions of them. And we don't really get a sense of what the true face of them looks like, but, you know, they essentially rely on Tiberium to live. Without it, they will die. Which really lends credence to the idea that it's sort of being used to terraform Earth into something that's more to their ends. But, you know, they like, all the different units are different Skryn aliens. Like, you have, like, different spider walkers and things. You have tripods. You have, like, these wicked, crazy spaceships. They're not... I don't know if they're necessarily the weirdest aliens, but they're one of my favorites. And just, it's interesting to see, like, this alien race that's so dependent on, like, this energy source. You know, where it's essentially part of their biology.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, and this is a fucking... Oh, man. This is a bit of a deep cut, but the movie Titan AE, there's an alien race that's basically all energy called the Dredge that is kind of along those lines as well. Like, I kind of think of the two in similar senses, which, man, if anyone here has seen Titan AE, first of all, awesome.
I thought that movie was bad.
Maybe it was. I read the book, at least in high school, but I don't know. It was a fun animated movie that I never really got to see as a kid, but I always kind of wanted to see.
Okay.
Those aliens are very similar in a lot of respects.
Those were quite, you know, Don Bluth animations. Very nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
You got, on the more tamer side, you got basically a kangaroo lady who's as one of the things, and you had like some bird aliens that lived on a planet with giant like hydrogen plants, like actual like plants that made like big bubbles of hydrogen, and the big bats, of course, as Crispy said, were an energy life form.
Yeah, I want to say it's kind of a cult classic now, but I'm not sure on that. So
cults are weird. Who knows?
I know, right?
Speaking of energy creatures, I know that this is my as Alien has this Star Wars. I have my 40K. What do you think about energy creatures, like in 40K, the original Catan or the old ones?
I find energy things boring. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Depends how they're done.
It eventually turns too much into a... They're just, like, doing their own weird... I like it when they're more grounded, literally. Mm-hmm. Like,
I can see that.
This is why I, you know, wanted to use more examples of aliens that are weird, but you could touch.
Yeah.
If it came to it.
Yeah, there's at a certain point where it's just, like, jumping the shark in weirdness, I suppose.
There is also... the three body problem,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to spoil a little bit of that. I'm going to spoil one of the big things about it. If you guys are comfortable with that,
that's fine. I'm not super familiar with it. Okay.
One of the basis for the setting in general that gets revealed after like the second or third book, is the idea of multi-dimensional aliens. And the idea that, the entire world has devolved from different dimensions.
So
we originally were ninth dimensional beings, like aliens. All alive things were originally ninth dimension. then something happened and it went to 8th, 7th, all the way to 4th, and now we're in the 3rd dimension.
Oh, so this isn't necessarily alternate dimensions. Yep. This is, like, even crazier. Okay.
No, it's, like, XYZ dimensions.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yep. I can see how that would get pretty bad shit.
Yep. And the theory behind it is that the previous, how it's described in the setting is they eventually meet a fourth dimensional alien or like a station that existed. And it describes it as living in a puddle evaporating in the sun as the fourth dimensionality gets superseded by the third dimension.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's some big brain shit.
Yeah, no. The series gets fucking wild, and I really hope that it gets greenlit for us second and third season and four.
That's right. They're making a show right now.
They're making a show, and it's coming out on the 21st.
Nice.
Okay, color me interested. Color me interested.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I keep promoting it, because no. The second and third book are really fucking cool.
Sounds like an interesting
All
read,
I've man. Known from the third body problem was basically the proposal of the Dark Forest as to why we do not get contacted, because the minute we get someone notices, hey, humanity, sentient life is here, can't have that, can't have any sorts of resource competition here.
Kind of no. I can go through the Dark Forest theory more carefully, because I've noticed some people are getting the ideas wrong.
I just know the surface level.
Okay, sure. I'll go through it then. If this were approved, these would be the postulates, basically. One, you cannot break FTL. That's a physical thing of the universe. The second postulate is that life in general is everywhere. Those are the two postulates that exist for this argument. And the third postulate is that technology is explosive. So, the argument is as follows. If there are thousands upon thousands of aliens everywhere, it only takes one other alien species to kill another alien species. Because if I shoot a gun at you that's going 0.99 the speed of light, you will not know the bullet that hits you in space. Like, in maybe you'll know like for like maybe a year or so, but like you actually can't do anything about it. So what this means then is, and the other thing is that everyone can pay attention to all the one alien species can pay attention to all of the other ones in that. So the idea is, if the first an alien species says, hey, I exist, I am here, there is going to be at least one other alien species that shoots them. Because if two alien species are in communication with each other, they effectively can kill the other one without the other one responding. Because even if it takes 500 years for their ships to arrive, that is 500 years that the other species can defend itself. Like, they'll see it, if they see it a little bit, they then can defend themselves reasonably. And because technology is explosive, if you leave, they can respond then with a greater force than what you came in with.
Very interesting.
Yes, and that's the more proper Dark Forest theory, which is, it may work for two different alien species, maybe three, but as soon as you start asking the entire galaxy, hey, let's all be friends, it just takes one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea behind it.
I see.
But that would mean every species would be basically locked to their home system.
They can still leave. You can't notice, like, if an alien species is, like, traveling from, like, two stars, you can't really see it.
No.
Unless you're looking.
Space big.
Yeah, space big.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea behind it.
That does kind of remind me of The Expanse, in a lot of ways, which I'm going to get into some major spoilers for the series, in case people want to listen to that. So.
I think we have to accept that it is spoilers
all around. I have seen
up
to the start of season 3.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you may, maybe you will understand this, but anyway. So in The Expanse, there was this race that built what is called a protomolecule, which essentially is a programmable set of matter slash von Neumann probe that they shot at other planets, with the end goal being to build a gate connecting their systems together in this big galaxy-spanning empire. And what ends up happening to their race is that their use of the gates causes pain or and enrages an extra-dimensional race that is essentially called the entity, the ring entities, or dark gods, depending on who's talking about it. But they were able to create weapons that affected the consciousness of these beings. And these beings were being a hive mind species. It fucking wiped out their entire empire. Like, they were extinguished by these extra-dimensional beings. And the only thing that remains is their technology, which ends up falling into the hands of humans. They essentially reactivate the gate network, create an interstellar civilization, but the use of the gates continues to harm these beings, and it causes them to come into conflict with humanity. And they are able to do things like, for example, in the one book, essentially turn off the consciousness of everyone in the soul system for 5 minutes.
Also, like, everyone's cars crash.
Yeah, basically shit like that. Like, people just, like, black out for a whole 5 minutes. Or, yeah.
Simultaneous conscious blackout.
Yeah. And it's, like, something
5 minutes.
It's something called a void bullet, I think, is what they end up calling it. Where it's, like, it leaves behind this, like, orb of energy that, even in space, will stay relative to its position, like, on a ship. Mm-hmm. Like, if a ship's moving, it will stay in the same spot and just kind of move with the ship. But yeah, no, they're essentially these, like, Lovecraftian, in a sense, just extra-dimensional beings that humanity has to deal with because of this this gate network.
You can't stop the gates, then things don't work.
That's the thing. It's like humanity ends up needing these gates because it opens up an entire, like, thousands of, or like hundreds, if not thousands of worlds for them to colonize.
Yeah.
And this is like a setting where humanity essentially hasn't discovered FTL and is in the soul system, basically colonizing it.
I mean, yeah. I've basically, in The Expanse, I've only seen the series, not with the books yet. But from what I understood, even with their, you know, knowledge of FTL and understanding, you know, space big, they're going to take a fucking buttload of time. In the show, they had like a colony ship sponsored by the Mormon Church. As they knew they had FTL drives, they're going to take a fucking fuck ton to go somewhere and to colonize stuff.
Yeah.
In that thing. And even then, space was, you know, people were egging each other on inside the soul system itself. If they suddenly realized, hey, I just found the keys here to basically a pre-built train network, and I've just built myself a little carriage here, which I can use it from, and no more big trains are coming. I could just use this.
Yep, and it causes its own problems for human civilization later on in the book, but I don't want to spoil the entire thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry about me spoiling the three-body problem. It gets weirder. That is the intro to the weirdness.
Yeah, oh, man.
Well, one of the major things that happened, also spoilers, is that Mars is essentially its own, like, superpower.
They're a political
with the goal of terraforming the planet, and then the gates open. And because of that, a lot of Martians leave, because it's like, why bother trying to terraform this world when there's all these habitable systems we can go to? And it actually causes a section of the Martian military to break away and form their own empire, which has access to this alien technology, and are able to do some crazy shit with it.
Why bother terraforming a desert of a ship planet if you can just hop in and go somewhere else and do it easier?
Yeah.
That's a fair argument.
Hmm.
Very much so. as well as the shit that you can do with the proto molecule. I mean, the one scientist who ends up getting shot in the head because he's a sociopath, is like talks about the things that humans could do with it, basically alter our abilities, our biology, so it's like we don't have to wear suits in a vacuum to live. Or we could go to sleep on a colony ship for over 100 years and wake up at a new star, you know? Just like the programmable matter that's just has limitless possibility.
Programmable matter is such a... That's the new nano machines. I swear to God.
It really is. It really is. I'm okay with it. I think it's fun. I also like nanotechnology. Did we ever do a nano machines episode?
I don't think so. It's a bit late to start it right now, but...
No, next episode.
Save it up for later. But that does bring back into mind here stuff, or rather, one of this book, don't know if you can read it, called The Reality Dysfunction. One of the space epic thoughts. But it postulated that each species has to eventually have to clean up all their dead souls. Once they realize there's a certain high dimensionality. So spoilers here for, you know, the trilogy of books, but in essence, inside there, humanity, through a fluke of, I wouldn't even dare to call it nature, finds out there is an afterlife, and it is sensory deprivation. It is sensory deprivation, and every person that once lived and had a soul is stuck there. Once that little hole is poked into the dimension, the ghosts come back, and they want to possess every person that lives. They want to live again because they've been nothing but sensory deprivation for however long they've been stuck inside there.
Fuck that shit. That sounds horrible.
So you got Al Capone. You got little Adolf Hitler. You got your grandma. You got your great-great-grandfather Grug in there. All just rushing out trying to live again.
Don't blame them.
And the big postulate was every species has to do this, and humanity has only found one other species that has managed to fix this issue. The other ones, they all failed. They found a hive mind. They found the hive mind, remains of a hive mind civilization. Didn't fucking work. They were swamped in ghosts and died.
All of them ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, it's miserable.
They found another like radial symmetrical species that first found them. They all died too.
Oh.
Due to the thing. And they even go too far as to find what is known as a naked singularity out in the middle of fuck off space that gets used as a sort of Deus Ex Machina at the end of it.
Oh.
For it. Which is basically a program, which is like an AI that lives inside a singularity and basically goes like, oh, that star is fun. Take. I put here.
So.
Planet. I put here, 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 here.
I mean, it sounds like some crazy shit, just like a living singularity. I mean, you look at a singularity, it's already some cosmic horror shit, so it's just like, imagine something like that being sentient.
So, okay. We have talked about the different aliens a good bit now.
Yeah.
If we were to create an interesting alien, what would you do? How would you make it?
I mean, I've got some ideas that I'm writing about now. I don't know if they're necessarily like too weird, at least
I would postulate in this case it needs to, in order for an alien to be weird, it needs to break a few of humanity's ground conditions. It needs to either the common way to break the human experience is to either A, remove our individuality, remove our sense perception of reality, or do something entirely different, or have a totally different perspective on life. So, I mean, for instance, imagine a civilization that did not fucking care for death. It even worked. Go for death and saw it as, fuck it, you die. I don't care. I've just grown back new inside you. Like, imagine a mushroom alien civilization that didn't care how big or small it was, so long as the spores kept going out and it kept, you know, boop, 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 consuming dead matter. It was happy.
I like that idea.
That's a good one.
Fungoid aliens, I think, is a really interesting idea that should be utilized more. I think you can.
I agree. Fungus are really cool things. Just
they're already pretty alien as it is, so it's like,
yeah.
I mean, fungus is pretty much living death.
Yes,
it is life out of death.
100%.
One part they're also
don't care about it being alive.
They are also a completely different like branch of the life, right?
Yeah.
They are already really fucking weird, and I like them about that. Have you ever looked up slime molds yet?
I can ask my brother about it. He's a scientist.
Okay. Slime molds are a colony, basically, that they all work together, but they are individuals. So, like, you'll see them in order to, like, I guess populate is the right term. Like a different area, they will shoot themselves off, and some of them will in fact die. Like, no joke, they will die, and they do that intentionally. And I find that the coolest fucking thing. I think that's the neatest thing.
That's pretty wild.
Because
We don't see that around. Like
that's what I meant. Humans are so primed for individuality that any break or, you know, dying for the collective is considered an alien trait.
Yeah. Ants, for example. Ooh, imagine ants as an alien civilization.
I have. I love the idea of an ant colony that's an alien civilization.
There is a budgeting sci-fi animation channel called Humans Be Gone that imagines, like, gigantic insects and ants almost being a spacefaring civilization, almost with ant colonies going up into like low Earth geostationary orbit for their world.
I mean, you think about it, it's a very interesting take on it. You know, you and have this insectoid species that's more cares about the collective.
You could argue Starship Troopers if they decided to like talk to the aliens instead.
But I mean, essentially, that's what they are. It's a very similar concept. It's like,
yeah,
I think they're even mentioned as being a hive mind in the book,
And even in the movie, they were like the smart bug thing.
Yeah,
the brain bugs.
The brain bugs, right? There is no such thing as a brain bug. It doesn't exist. What are you talking about? And just being like, oh, it's over there.
Brain bugs offensive.
God, what a funny movie.
Oh yeah. I'm trying to think here. What about you know, tardigrades, water bears?
Mm-hmm.
How they're able to survive anywhere? Something like that almost is like a sentient species, you know? Something that's able to thrive in any sort of environment.
You might hate me for this. You might hate me for this.
I might.
Star Trek Discovery.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
I'm
not gonna go into it, but they did have a nice concept for it. An extra-dimensional tardigrade.
Do they do anything, or do they just sort of, like, be a tardigrade?
They are essentially dimensional migrating animals, in that case.
Well.
Yeah, they live off extra-dimensional fungus, so they have to skip along dimensions. And that's how they, in that show, tried to validate their dimension hopping.
There's a lot of things in that show that probably need the validating.
Mm-hmm. No. They need some validating upon the blade of a backlash.
I've heard so
or how many you say that.
Shocking, I know. I'm trying to think of some other good aliens. Sentient amoebas. I don't know.
I mean, I could just pull another Lovecraft card out of my brain.
We already talked about the Migo. They're automatically the best ones, right? Sentient fungi from Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I would also like to know more of a, like, let's say the concept of the collective insect, like ants.
Yeah.
But give it the specialization of the modular people from Ultramaros.
Ooh, I like that idea. Where it's
ants are like very specialized. Like they are.
They are, but take away the base building plan of ants. You know, they're still fucking ants. They're still like three globules and six legs. Mm-hmm. And now make them easily adaptable and searchable, like a big Lego set.
Yes, I love
imagine
this
a collective hive mind species that radically reconfigured itself into different parts. I know this sounds a little bit like any sorts of nanotech hive mind tech thing, but imagine if it was biological or fungus even.
Well, what about the idea of something like that, but it's biomechanical in a sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's true. Humans are currently... my third brain is my phone, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's just me using technology. And in theory, we would continue to use technology. Like, the idea of, like, not having, like, technology shit everywhere is frankly dumb. So, yeah, an alien species then would have... but also, I just upgraded my phone, like, half a year ago. Everyone else could be up... Like, so they're... Everyone's technology side could be modular.
Yeah. Where it's almost like technology is sort of ingrained with us in a way. Not like a machine race, necessarily, but, you know, where it's...
The very least can, like, swap A to B.
Yeah. Almost programmable biology, in a sense.
Programmable biology, or, as I once saw, degrees of cyborg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a better term.
Where you go, like, all external cyborgs would be people just having wearable tech and smartphones and such. Going over to, you are just a digitized consciousness on some PC, or just built out of nanites. And then after that, you got AIs that were grown in or sprang from some computer and decided, hey, I would like a body. I would like a body made out of meat. Let me get myself a let me go to, you know, Bob the Fleshmancer, have myself a body made, plug my, pay it with the equivalent of future Bitcoin, and then download a copy of the AI into that body.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, download it in. Merge the two, and hey, I now know what it is to be that person for however many years they were.
Oh, yeah. That's
also a very good idea.
Oh, yeah?
What else could be there?
I
mean, there's always the argument of meat versus metal that we have in sort of in a lot of sci-fi.
Then we're just getting into Quake 2, specifically.
Yeah, but imagine if we, you know, started, you know, just stayed in biology, but started merging different branches of biology. You know, what's to say you can't merge a few of flora into fauna, or fungi into fauna, just to keep with it. You know. Have a spore hound, for instance. A sunlight eating sort of, I don't know, six-legged thing that thinks, hey, being alive is pretty awesome, but I would like some more sunlight, and I want to know how it tastes on top of the mountain. So I want to know how it tastes on top of the atmosphere.
There was an anime, and oh god, I just forgot the name of it. But basically, it was a generational ship, and there were and in order to survive, humanity did in fact merge with plants a little bit. It was primarily to just have like sexy ladies like dress scantily.
Is this Knights of Cydonia?
Yes. It's a fucking interesting anime. I can't help it.
Oh no, it's fine.
I saw that one.
I'm not anti-anime. I'm just very picky with what I watch, is all.
It does devolve a bit into harem.
But depends. The ideas behind it I found fucking interesting, and I can't get over that.
They are quite interesting. I mean, a generational ship battling against basically a fleshy alien consciousness. Help me out here. It has been years since I've watched Knights of Cydonia.
Same here. I just found, like, there's the occasional thing of, like, oh, you made a dumb anime trope actually work. That's good. And I appreciate
that. That just goes to show that tropes can be done well if they're written well.
Oh, yes. Tropes exist. I will infinitely defend tropes.
We should have a trope cast.
I like in that show how they showed how devastating a hard turn can be for a ship.
Yeah, they're like, no. People are going to fucking die. This is going to be terrible for everyone.
But I did like that since they've somehow figured out in that reality a continuous acceleration, or at least sort of simulated gravity besides the old spilling cylinder, that they've basically built like a very high mountain inside this generational ship.
I just like the fact that when they were like, well, grandma needs to get put down, well, put her in the juicer.
Yeah, in the reclamation center.
Yeah.
This is clearly a lot of the experience.
Food for the fungus.
Yep.
I have an idea of an alien here that could be really interesting. What if it was an alien race that was only existed on a certain spectrum of light or energy?
Like dark matter?
I guess you could say it like dark matter, or it's like... like, imagine an alien race that you could only see them on infrared. For instance, you know?
Yeah, you would have to have the matter exist. Or I guess you could just say it's alien matter.
Okay.
I don't mind saying they're made out of alien juice. That's fine for me.
That reminds me of humans are space orcs.
Yeah.
Short, where they basically had like aliens that could only see in infrared. And when the humans came and they had like two warring species, and one species couldn't see the other one, the attacker. And then when the human mercs got hired, what they saw was, of course, they saw the other people. They were in this individual spectrum, and they're bright fucking pink against the vegetation. But yeah, basically the same concept, but for the human visual range. Like, if you were in a star system that only had like infrared light emitted by the sun, we wouldn't fucking see it shit. Not unless we had some special goggles on.
I believe that.
Or, like ultraviolet.
Yeah.
Cancer sun. Dunburn o'clock.
Crispy.
Crispy crap.
Hey.
What's your name?
Is that the name of the movie, man?
It does sound like we're getting a bit tired.
A little bit, yeah.
Would we like to call it here?
Fine with that.
I'm okay with it.
All right, then. Any final thoughts before
go? Fun.
Yeah. I think if your show or whatever is about aliens, take the extra time, I think, to actually make them interesting.
Agreed.
Give it a nice spin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. This has been the Ox Unplugged. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
3.5 millimeter. Nickel-plated full metal jacket. Auxiliary plug. $6.99 from Radio Shack.